Joy to be here. Thank the Lord for the privilege He's given us together. My heart certainly has been ministered to, and touched and massaged and blessed, and He's such a wonderful Savior. I would understand why He would want you and His family, but why He would want me is a different thought. But I'm glad I'm one of them. I'm going home one day. The Lord is certainly wonderful and marvelous. Thank you, Brother Bud, for that wonderful word. Now the Lord spoke to my heart. And I know we're living in 2010, but the old story and the old way is still what'll get the job done. And I'm convinced of that. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. As I got up early this morning, I had no intentions of really coming. I called Brother Jeremy last night, and we made arrangements, but I woke up early, and the Lord began to minister to my heart. I'm in meeting down in the Greenville area, and I just feel a pull to come this way and not to preach because I've already gotten what I needed. But for a little better than a year now, I've been studying this chapter. And having read all of the commentaries that I could find, I still was not satisfied in my heart. So I began praying and asking God, because I knew the way the Holy Ghost had been dealing with me, that there was something very important in this chapter that we need in this day. And you know how certain portions of the scripture will get a hold of you. Well, this one would not let me go. And for over a year, every month or so, I'd begin digging again. And then for 2 months, in the end of this past year, every day, the Lord would bring me sometime during the day to this chapter. And I'm sure that you're acquainted with it. But there's a great truth for we that are the people of God that we need to understand, and that would really benefit us if we could get the truth of it in our hearts. We sing the songs, Brother Mike, Brother Fleming. We sing the songs today about going to heaven and hallelujah we are. I'm glad that in my Father's house are many mansions, he said. Then he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you and hallelujah for that. But before we ever get to enjoy all of that, there's going to be a kingdom that we're going to be involved in. There's going to be 1,000 years that we're going to have to deal with before we ever get to enjoy the splendors of heaven. Somebody said, I thought I was going to die and go to heaven. We are. Heaven's eternal. But there's a kingdom that we're going to be involved in. And that kingdom that we're going to be involved in as the church is very important that we understand what we need to do now to be able to know what we're going to be doing then. Somebody said, I'm not real interested. You might already get real interested. Because if we did real good to live 86 years, what's that compared to 1,000? Somebody said, I want to be a good steward while I'm here. So do I. But I want to be a good steward for another 1,000 years. Let's read this, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, that's us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, let me pause and say that Simon Peter is interested in mathematics here. Matter of fact, in chapter 5, there's some things that we must add. But as we add those things, the Lord multiplies some things. And as we are adding, God's multiplying. And whenever you add, that's good, but multiplication will get you more than addition will. 4 + 4 = 8. But 4 × 4 = 2x that much. That would be a double portion, would it not? Well, he said, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, in other words, if you're not interested in addition, then there will be subtraction. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Now, he's not totally blind, but he's nearsighted. And he cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It doesn't say that he's forgotten that he's been saved. Back yonder 30 years ago, it says that he's become nearsighted, and he's forgotten that he's saved this morning. And he goes back to his old way of life this morning. Look at verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, now watch it, ye shall never fall. Man, I'm interested in that. Somebody said everybody can fall. If you're doing what he said right here, he said, you'll never fall. That just tells me that people that are falling are not interested in 2 Peter 1. Boy, as a man of God, I'm interested in finishing well. I don't want to fall, and I don't have to fall, because he's given me the antidote right here. Now, look at verse 11. For so, he said, if you don't ever fall, and then he's telling us how we can operate without falling. And then he said, for so, if you don't fall, he said, for so, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want, how much time I got, preacher? I want to preach this morning on Brother Grady, obtaining an abundant entrance. Obtaining an abundant entrance. Are being able to enter in, not the Father's house, but the everlasting kingdom. Being able to enter in under full sail, under colors flying, not having to be dragged in or tugged in, but under full sail, making the journey well. I want to obtain an abundant entrance, not for my sake, but that I may give him glory and praise and honor. Would you pray with me and ask the Lord to help us? Father, I sure thank you for your goodness. Lord, I was scared to death I was going to have to preach. Now here I am. Lord, how the meeting has been going has certainly blessed my heart. But God, would you arrange the atmosphere now that we may be able to receive this truth? Lord, I don't have the ability to convey what you've put in my heart unless the Holy Ghost would give the Word of God free course. I pray tonight that every man of God, every woman of God, every saint of God would give ear to the ministering of the Holy Spirit. God, would you help us to understand what we need and how we need to be so that in another day and another hour, we might bring glory really unto your name. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I know that on a Tuesday morning in Jubilee, you don't have to spend a lot of time with the basic ABCs of the Word of God. Most of you are very much acquainted with them. But I want to say, first of all, when he's dealing here with the kingdom, I want to talk about establishing from the Word of God the fact of the kingdom. Establishing the fact of the kingdom. Let me say to you, there's three areas of dwellings that we find in the Word of God for the people of God. We find in John chapter 14, we find there that Jesus said, in my Father's house. Now there is the Father's house. There's the Father's house. That's the place for sons to go. Amen. The Father's house is for family members. Even though I haven't been at home for 40 years now, I can still go to Daddy's house and I don't even normally have to knock because it's Father's house and I feel at home there. I don't have to ask if I can go to the refrigerator. I just know it's the Father's house. I was birthed into that. Hallelujah. I'm glad that the Father's house is for sons that have been birthed into the family of God. Every person that's saved is going to get to enjoy the Father's house. Then there's another place. There is what John calls the New Jerusalem that he's seen coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. Now, when I got married, I did not move into the Father's house. I had a place of my own. Father's house is for sons, but the New Jerusalem is for new married ones. It's for the bride and the bridegroom. That's the church. That's the church. The Old Testament saints were not the bride of Christ. The tribulation saints are not the bride of Christ. But I am, and if you're hearing me, so are you. If you're saved by the grace of God, and there's a place suspended between the Father's house and the earth, that's where the bride is going to be able to rest there. Now you get birthed into the Father's house, but you get married into the New Jerusalem. Now, there's another place. Bible talks about it throughout the scripture. It began with David, and it's called the kingdom. The kingdom. The Bible says that Jesus is going to rule and reign from Father David's throne. That's not the Father's house. That's not the New Jerusalem. That's the kingdom. That's right here. That's on this earth. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Then if you're saved, that makes you an unbelieving believer. And we've got a whole lot of those. But I want to say, I believe the devil, I really believe that Satan has tried to hide this through so many different ideas. But the Word of God only has one truth, and that Word of God is what I'm interested in. The kingdom began with David. I'm not going to take time to give you all this scripture. Began with David. David promised, gave a covenant to David. God gave a covenant to David and said, your kingdom will be established forever. But he was talking about just not David, but the son of David, who is the son of God. Read Matthew 1. Oh, hallelujah. And then there is where the Lord Jesus himself is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, if you will notice in the Old Testament, and even let me say that the kingdom did not change from the Old Testament into the New Testament. It's still the kingdom. That John Baptist came, Matthew 3, 1 and 2. John Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is spiritual. That's what's in me. Paul said in Romans 14, it ain't meat and drink. It's not tangible, but it's love and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is in me. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, but the kingdom of heaven is tangible. It's visible. You can touch it. You can see it. It's earthly. It's when the kingdom of heaven is when heaven rules on the earth. And we're going to be involved in that. All through Matthew's account, it's particular. The kingdom of heaven is particular to Matthew. He's presenting Jesus as the King of the Jews. Chapter 20, chapter 22, chapter 25. He spake this parable. He spake was like the kingdom of heaven was likened unto. And it's always about stewardship and service. It's about a man that was given talents. It's about a man that didn't have a wedding garment on. It's about all of this and about all of that. And if you're not careful, you'll mix that up with working your way to heaven. You ain't working your way to heaven, but you are into the kingdom. That's where these grace followers get mixed up. They take the parables that's supposed to belong to the earth and relate it to heaven. You got to rightly divide this word or you'll be confused as a two-headed woodpecker in a rock quarry. That's right. That's why we got so much confusion. But I do want to tell you, there is the kingdom of heaven that you and I are going to be involved in before we ever enjoy the New Jerusalem or the Father's house. So that's what we need to be interested in. Now, John Baptist preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Brother Charles. John Baptist preached it, but Matthew 12, they rejected him as king. So Matthew 13, he gives these seven parables. Matthew chapter 13, the disciples ask him, Lord, why are you speaking to them in parables? Jesus said, I ain't talking to them in parables. I'm talking to you in parables. He said, for it's not for them to know, but it is for you. So he said from Matthew 13 on, it's the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Now mystery, that's something that's there, but it's hidden. The kingdom of heaven was evident till they rejected the Lord Jesus. Then after that, it didn't do away with the kingdom. It postponed the kingdom. And now the mystery of heaven is Matthew 13, which has to do with the church dispensation. The mysteries of heaven and the church dispensation occupy the same time frame. Not the kingdom of heaven, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Now, having spent a year studying this, I can't preach it in 40 minutes. But it may whet your appetite to try to get us to understand. And so many times we're occupied with what's going on now, and we're looking forward to going to heaven when we die, and the devil has blinded us to that 1,000 years that all of us are going to be involved in. I get to go to the Father's house because I was born there, born to go. Some of you looking at me strange, I think. I can't see you with my glasses off, but I feel like you're looking at me strange. I'm birthed. I get to go home to the Father's house because I was born in it. But I want to be, I want to have a place of good occupancy in the kingdom. And what I am now determines what I'll be doing during the kingdom. In other words, we're under job surveillance. Whatever amount of years we live here, we're under job surveillance. There's a man that owns a large company, and he's a very wealthy manager. And his company has done well, and he's got two boys. Let's say his boys are named Andrew and Alex. And the father is wanting a place in the workforce for those two boys. So he puts those two boys under the government and the governorship and the management of his overseer, which is the Holy Ghost. And he says to the governor and the manager, I want you to watch those boys because I want to put them in my workforce. I want to have them in my business, but just because they're my sons, I don't know how they're going to do in the workforce. So he said, I want you to watch them, school them. And Brother Mike, after 4 years, these boys have finished school now. And after 4 years, the owner calls the governor in and says, I want an evaluation on the boys. How did my boys do? And he said, boy, I want to tell you, sir. He said, that youngest boy, that's Alex. He said, I'm telling you, he's up at the crack of dawn. Said, I can't begin to tell you how much he loves this work. I cannot begin to tell you how that he's not interested in getting it all for himself. He's interested in you, Father. He's interested in you, sir. He wants to magnify you. He wants everybody to know that this is still your company. And he says, I recommend him highly. And the father says, make him a junior partner. I want him right in here ruling and reigning with me. Well, what about Andrew? You hadn't mentioned Andrew. Andrew. Well, now, here's another story. Andrew, you never could get him involved much. Oh, yeah, sir, I know he's one of your boys. I know he belongs to you, but he just ain't much in the workforce. Said, I've been watching him. Said, I've been trying to school him, and he's too hard-headed. He won't listen. And I've been trying to teach him, but he knows too much himself. He feels, because he's the older boy, he's just going to rightfully occupy and obtain this. That younger boy ain't nothing. But he said, he feels like that it belongs to him anyway. Oh, yeah, he lords over all the other servants. He says, I'm the Father's boy. And Alex never has done that. Alex just goes out and mixes and mingles, and he loves the servants and he loves the people. But boy, that Andrew, he's got that domineering attitude. And I don't really know if I can recommend him in the workforce or not. And the father said, we'll call him boys in here. And here comes Alex and Andrew in to the throne, to the judgment seat. Here comes Alex and Andrew into the judgment seat. And the father said, I've just had a report. I've just received the report from the governor, from the manager. How you boys have been doing? Alex, I want you to come over here with me. We're going to make you a partner in the work. And Andrew, it would be better if you just sought employment somewhere else. Daddy, are you running me away from home? No, you still get to sleep at the father's house. I just don't need you in the workplace. I just don't need you in the workforce. I just don't. In other words, I'm not going to secure your employment. What am I going to do? Well, I don't know. That's up to you. Alex has proven himself. We've made him a junior partner. But Andrew, you've squandered and wasted. You've run around. You've messed up. You ain't stayed true. We couldn't really get you involved. You was more interested in making it for yourself. Now, I tell you what, we'll let you sweep the street back here on Back Street. I sense God. Well, I said, I want to tell you, I can do what I want to do, and if I want to mess up, that's fine. I'll ask God to forgive me. He does forgive you. You still get to go to the Father's house, but if you fall, if you fail, and there's, can I say this, there's more failures than running off with somebody else's wife. If you're not interested in the workforce, if you're not interested in the Father's business, if you're squandering, you belong to God, but you're not much interested in anything else, you're going to be hurting for 1,000 years. I'm looking forward to going to heaven when I die. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. But I got 1,000 years to think about before I get there. Listen carefully. I hope I ain't killing this meeting. I don't think I am. If this kills it, well, here, we've established the fact of the kingdom. It's not the Father's house. It's not the New Jerusalem. It's when the Lord rules and reigns. It's an everlasting kingdom. Listen to me carefully. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, that Jesus is going to rule and reign until he puts every enemy under his foot. And then it says he's going to turn around and give the kingdom back to the Father. Study that. Somebody said it's an everlasting kingdom. It sure is. It don't mean that the kingdom ends. It just means that the work's over. It's done. And we get to enjoy the goodness of God throughout eternity. But we got that 1,000 years to begin with. When I see you 547 years from today, what are you going to be doing? Now, let's look secondly, not only establishing the fact of the kingdom, but embracing the functions of the kingdom. Notice with me in 2 Peter. He said, now, grace and peace. First, he said, you've already got faith. You've obtained like precious faith with us. Now, let's say we got a glass of water here. Here's a glass. Now, if there's nothing in it, let's just say it's a glass. That's faith. There's the glass. Now, if I pour something in it, it becomes a glass full of whatever's in it. It's just not an empty glass anymore. In other words, when I add to this glass, it becomes whatever I've added to it. Notice. Now we're not dealing with going to heaven. We're dealing with what we're going to be doing in the kingdom. He said in verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now watch it, through the knowledge of God and that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, preacher, how do I be able to understand this and attain this? Spend more time with Jesus. And all of that's going to be multiplied through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, I ain't got time to spend with it. You ain't got enough time. I'm telling you, friend, in this hour, what we need to do is you and I need to be more occupied with Him so that we can understand the Word better. The knowledge, grace, and peace is multiplied through the knowledge, getting to know Him. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now watch it. He said, and take my yoke upon you. Now the yoke is the will of God. That's the work. He said, take my yoke upon you. Get busy, but he said, learn of me. Don't study so much the yoke. And learn of me. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, you'll find when you learn of me that I'm meek and lowly at heart. We're spending too much time studying the yoke and not getting anything done. When we need to put the yoke on, learn of him and we'll find the yoke will fall right in place. Oh, Lord. Help me, Lord. So much going through my mind. Listen, verse number 3, he said, according to this divine power. Let me tell you, for us to obtain an abundant interest, there's power available now. Watch. According to his divine power, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that might pertain unto life and godliness. He said, through the power of God. He said, you've already got life. But he said, through that power, that godliness. He said, through life and godliness. The godliness is how we live the life that he's given us. Unto life and godliness. How do we get that, preacher? How do we obtain this power? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It's all about getting to know him. Oh, Holy Ghost. Brother Mike, it's all about getting to know him. The reason we don't know that he's meek and lowly at heart is because we spent too much time studying the yoke. We're spending too much time studying the burden that we're under instead of him that's in us with the burden. Oh, Lord. Somebody said, I'm about to go down. Learn more about the ones carrying the load anyhow. Don't go down. If you do, you may end up as a street sweeper in the kingdom. Stay true to God. Get to knowledge. Get to know him. Get knowledge of him. And you will find out. There's where your strength comes from. Not howling to readjust under the yoke. But just get in it and learn of him. He's a walking right beside you. You can't get away from him when you're yoked up to him. Just walking right beside him. Now, a yoke will kill you if you don't get in step with him. Just walk right beside him and learn of him. Oh, what amazes me that he'd let me get in a yoke with him. And not only that, but let me learn of him. Now, he said, whereby are given unto us, verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Listen to me. There's not only power available. There's not only promises attainable. The way we receive those promises is getting to know him. But there's also partaking accessible. Now watch it. Here's where a lot of folk miss it. They say that that partaker of his divine nature that he's dealing with here comes with salvation. Well, his nature, we do take on the nature of Christ. We are partakers of the Holy Ghost when we are saved. But I know some people that's saved, they say they are, but you can't hardly tell it. What it is, they haven't got to know the Lord more, and they're partaking of that divine nature has been cut off. They're saved. They're going to the Father's house, but they're going to be in trouble for 1,000 years prior. Then there's progress advanceable. What do you mean, preacher? Verse number 5, he said, I've given you power, I've given you promises, and I've given you the ability to partake. Now he said, here's some things that you're going to have to do for that all to become real to you. And he said, beside this, he didn't say, we're doing a whole different thing. He said, right beside it. In other words, pouring into the glass. Beside this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Now, faith is the glass. You're going to Father's house. You're saved. You're a vessel. You're a vessel. That's the faith. But then there's some things we got to add too. Not to go to the Father's house, but to apply a secure place of employment in the kingdom. I know this is strange. It upset me too when I found out about it. Watch it. Add to your faith virtue. The very first thing is virtue. What is virtue? It's something we ain't got that we need. How do you get it? Here comes a woman with the issue of blood. She's hurting. She's in a mess. She's crippled. She's strengthless. Her faith's all right. She's headed in the right direction. She's not running from the Lord. She's trying to get to him. And she runs. And she comes up in the press behind. You know what I believe? I believe the Lord has slowed down and waited on her. He knew she was coming. She didn't run up in the front. She came in the press behind. Jairus has got him by the hand trying to get him down to his house. His daughter's dying. This ain't a casual stroll. They're in a hurry. But Jesus waited on her so she could catch up. He knew she was coming. He knows when you need to touch him. Woo! He knows he'll slow down and let you touch him. Oh, hallelujah. He'll slow down and let you get him. I see her press through the crowd. She's got faith. That's what's making her press. And she touched him. And immediately virtue went out of him into her. And as soon as virtue went into her, she straightens up and she feels a lot better. Jesus said, who touched me? He knew who it was. He wanted her to tell. He wanted her to tell just in case anybody else around wanted to. He wanted her to tell. Who touched me? You know what I love about that? When she touched him, he didn't catch what she had. She got what he had. That was virtue. To let her live her life in strength and power. Some of you are anemic. Because we ain't done the first thing he said. To add to your faith virtue. And the only way you can do it, get in the yoke with him, because that's the only way you'll get close enough to touch it. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue to me, and I prayed about this, virtue to me is Miracle-Gro. Hallelujah. Faith is planted. Faith is real. It's a faith as a grain of mustard seed. It may not be big, but you get virtue in it. You put Miracle-Gro on it. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm just simply saying virtue will establish you, make you strong. Now, I want to point out something here. To me also, virtue, listen, virtue is electricity unharnessed. That's why he said you got to add to your virtue something. Now look, he said in verse number 6, or verse number 5, add to your faith virtue. Then Brother Alvin, he did not say add to your faith knowledge. He said add to your virtue knowledge. Now, if you don't add knowledge before you do virtue, you'll never get to know him. If you're trying to add knowledge without virtue, virtue has got to come first. And then you add to virtue knowledge. Now, knowledge. Paul said that the Jews had a lot of zeal, a lot of virtue, with no knowledge. And unharnessed electricity will destroy you. It's really good if you never get it corralled. Virtue. You add to your virtue knowledge. Somebody said, I want to get to know the Lord. You got to touch him first. Somebody said, I'd sure love to get to know him better. You got to touch him first. Because touching him will give you the ability to obtain knowledge. Paul is a prime example of a man full of virtue and no knowledge. He was full of zeal, but he was persecuting the church. That's electricity unharnessed. But knowledge is the wire that the electricity runs through. All of a sudden, what would destroy you becomes usable. Now I'm telling you, I didn't read this out of no book. I tried to find something, they ain't nothing. Everybody else just jumped over this like I've been doing for 25 years. But I'm trying to tell you, the Holy Ghost says virtue to me is like electricity. Wild, wild. You get hit by unharnessed electricity and it'll fry you. You get hit by some of these preachers that don't have no knowledge but a lot of zeal, they'll fry you. Oh, Lord. See, you gotta add to your faith virtue, and then to virtue knowledge. All of a sudden, that electricity is in a usable place. Then he said, hey, I ain't boring nobody, am I? Then he said to verse number 6, and to knowledge temperance. Oh, Lord. Now, what we're doing, we're trying to obtain an abundant entrance, having a good place for 1,000 years in the kingdom. He said, you got to add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and then, he didn't say add to your faith temperance, he said add to your knowledge temperance that you've already had virtue in. Temperance. What is temperance? It's hooking that wire up to a fuse box. In other words, if you ain't real careful, you can have virtue and knowledge, but you'll blow a fuse and still do damage. When you blow a fuse, the power's there. Nobody knows it. You plug something in it trying to get something from it, and it ain't working. The power's there. The wire's hooked up just to blow the fuse. Just a breaker kicked. Oh, we need to understand. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to get us to understand we're obtaining an abundant entrance. Then he said, watch it. Then he said, and to temperance, oh no, Lord, please not. Patience. Patience is the outlet in there that's usable. All the wires running from the fuse box, you better get that. All the wires that's usable, you don't ever go out and plug anything in the fuse box. You got to run it through patience. Now you need to warm, so you plug in a heater into patience. But if the fuse is blowed, patience ain't working. I said if the fuse is blown, patience ain't working. You'll have to go back out there and get temperance taken care of before patience will ever work again. Well, I don't like what they've done. I'll fix it. You can make yourself a street sweeper by being untemperate and unpatient. Patience is the outlet that you can that makes it all usable. Makes all of that electricity out there. Makes the great ability of electricity down where you can plug a 110 heater in it and feel the joy of it. Then he said, and to patience, godliness. What's godliness? That's what everybody else knows about you. Godliness is that lighthouse that's got that light in it, sitting out there on that rocky pier, that's directing everybody the way to go. Now, I don't care how nice the lighthouse is, if they don't have virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, the light ain't shining. There won't be no godliness. And godliness is out there where, Brother Mike, where everybody's looking, where lost souls are either being brought to the harbor, or if there's been a fuse blowed back there, the light ain't shining and their souls are crashing. And then God to godliness, brotherly kindness. From that life of godliness, there's brotherly kindness. Everybody is seeing that light, and it ain't jumping on one and leaving out another. That light ain't hugging up to one and scrutinizing another. It's brotherly kindness. It's shining to everyone the same. It don't change its ability to this crowd and then change to that crowd. It's just always the same. Oh, Lord, I wonder how many lives have been crashed down through the years because of blown fuses that didn't let the light shine. And then he said, add to brotherly kindness, charity. All of that's wrapped up in charity. Charity is when you get to this point right here, when you've added all of these things, charity, all of these things that you added to don't make you love the brother. That's brotherly kindness. But it makes you love the whole world. Charity is love unscoped. And the Lord said, that's kind I'm looking for, to rule and reign. Going to be hard for short few, for me to find a place of good employment for a short fuse, for a no patience, for no temperance. Look at verse 6. Now look at verse 6. I'm about done. I'm sorry, verse 8. For if these things, what things? The things he just mentioned. If these things be in you, if you have added to them, not just one time, but an everyday thing, and abound. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again. But he that lacketh these things is blind. I tell you how you can take yourself, I tell you how you can take a test right here this morning. I'm not being belligerent or mean. I'm just not that kind of fella. I'm pretty good size, and I'm just a big old baby. I really am. I don't fight. I don't brawl. But if these things be in you, if these things be in you, he said, but if he that lacketh these things, he that lacketh one of these things, he that hadn't added to, if you don't have virtue, none of these other things could be added. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Right there is where people, men of God, good men of God, begin to fall. Because they become blind and can't see afar off. They can't see the ultimate end. They can't see the goal. They've forgotten about the far off things, and they're only involved in what they can see right now. And they fall into that trap. And while they're enjoying that pleasure, they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sin. Oh, God. Wherefore, look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What calling is that? Is that the calling to salvation? No, that's the call that he gives us over here in the first part of this chapter. Make your calling. Make sure that you're in that yoke. Make sure that your calling and election is sure. Election belongs to the nation of Israel. And he said, make sure that your calling and election is sure. It's not that God's predestined some to heaven and some to hell. He said, you better make sure that you're walking with the Lord. For if ye do these things, what things? Verse 5, 6, and 7. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. For so an abundant entrance may be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ. Establishing the fact, embracing the functions, enjoying the fruitfulness of the kingdom. I'm closing with this. I think I read this years ago. The Lord brought it back to mind as I was studying this. I think it was Spurgeon, it may have been J.C. Rowles, I can't remember. And I was reading after one of these men, and they said that they were standing on the docks of a big harbor. Ships back years ago coming in. And he said he noticed in particular one ship, and said he found out later it was loaded with pine lumber. Said he noticed one ship that sent out a horn way out in the bay and summons the tugboat to come out and pull it in. He said the tugboat was pulling in that ship. barely creeping in. And they said all of a sudden he noticed another ship way out there. But it was under full sail. So it was coming in at a record speed. Said they let the sails down and said that thing, instead of having to be tugged in, come in and sailed right in and docked right up to the harbor without any problem at all. And said he passed that one that was a coming in. Said he began to inquire. He wanted to know where they come from. Found out that they had both come from the same port in New York City. Both of them. Found out that the one that was tugged in left way before that other did. But this one that sailed in had come in under record time. And he said he began to inquire. He wanted to know. He said, if these two came from the same place, must have been a different weather pattern. Nope. Same weather pattern. Said they both encountered the same storms. We said, well, how come this one's masses broke and the dock and they've emptied everything off of the deck? The crew members are weary and worn and they're beaten. How come this other crew is so happy? What in the world happened? Did they encounter different weather patterns? No, same weather pattern. Came through the same storm, made the same journey. What's the difference? Said one knew what to do with his sails when the wind was blowing. He knew what to do with the sails when the storm arose. He learned to utilize the wind. He learned to turn his sails that when the wind would have destroyed them, Brother Mike, when the wind was sent to destroy them, they learned to turn their sails that it progressed their journey. Somebody said, the storm is about to take me under. Get your sails adjusted to the wind that's blowing. Brother Stewart, I'm done. But somebody said, preacher, that's the stupidest Jubilee meeting message I ever heard. Listen to me carefully. What we do now and who we are now and how we labor now is going to determine whether we obtain abundant entrance or have to be drug in. And the 1,000 years after that is going to determine how we enter. Father, I pray you'd take this message and you would use it. Lord, I pray you'd work in every man of God's heart. Lord, I'm thinking right now of half a dozen men this past year that's went down. Lord, I understand that you're a God of forgiveness. I understand that you do forgive and you won't expel us from the Father's house. You are a God of forgiveness. But oh God, in every area of my life, I want to bring glory to your name. And Lord, the only way that I can be what I need to be now is that I've got to get to know you better. It all comes through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this world's in a mess. But I'm glad you're walking right with us. Let me touch you, Lord, and then every now and again, as we walk with you, would you just sort of reach over and touch me? Help us, Lord. It's real and it's personal. Put the truth of this in my heart, in the hearts of others. In Jesus' name, we pray. How about somebody stepping over here to the instrument, please? I don't know, but I'm telling you.